Well, let's turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In this sequence of messages that I've been giving you on the Holy Spirit, I've made it very clear, as the 8th chapter of Romans, that if you don't have the Lord Jesus, you don't have the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the eternal Trinity, He's equal with the Father and the Son, the same in glory and power. But the purpose of the Holy Spirit was to accompany the Son, the virgin birth, His sinless life, and then He was to take the ministry of Christ and bless it throughout the whole world. And I spoke this morning on the fruit of the Spirit. And in this Acts, or rather the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, we're told that we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I think it's very, very interesting that God, when He saved us, didn't make us perfect. All the saved people that ever walked this earth were not perfect. They all had this contest and this struggle that the Bible says we have, and which Paul describes so beautifully here as he comes into the 8th chapter of Romans. But he does tell us that the works of the flesh are of Satan, and those who enjoy the works of the flesh and abide in the works of the flesh, they're going to perish. But those of us who have come to know the Lord and realize that we do have Satan as our enemy, and that there is this element in us that Satan can appeal to, which is the flesh. And so we come to this 8th chapter of Romans, where the apostle describes it all to us and tells us that since we are in Christ, we will get the victory over it. We will ultimately get the victory over it. I've often wondered why the Lord didn't make us perfect to begin with. When we got born again, we wouldn't have this struggle that we have. I don't know. All I know is you don't get your spirit perfect until you die. And when that spirit separates from your body, the spirit goes immediately with Christ, and at that moment it is made perfect in holiness, and our bodies, we put them back in the dust from which they came. And they rest there, waiting the coming of the Lord, when He will raise the dead and put our spirits, which are with Him now, back in our bodies, and then we'll be perfect. At that point, we'll have perfect spirits, we'll have a perfect body, but this final perfection does not occur in us until the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ for us and brings us into this new body, this new life. Now, at the close of the 7th chapter, the apostle's been arguing there about the fact that he finds in himself this thing, that the remnants of the old flesh. And he says there are times when they make me do things that I know oughtn't to do. But he finally says, I get the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And growing in grace is growing our downing and resisting and having nothing to do with the works of the flesh. Now the Apostle Paul says here in Romans, if you're going to go the works of the flesh all the way, you've never been saved. If they're going to dominate and control your action and your conduct, you're not in Christ. But they can't do it because you have in you Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to turn with me to this 8th chapter of Romans, and let's run down through it and see how the Apostle deals with this victory that we have in Jesus Christ. But I'm talking about the struggle, the inward struggle that every born-again person has. But we get the victory in Jesus Christ over it. Now, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. He just told us that being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet in us, though we have peace, and in us, though we have been justified, there's still that remnant of the old man that's in there trying to get assertion. And Satan likes to work in him and agitate him so that you have to resist the devil. Now in verse 2, For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. And that's exactly what has happened. Since you have come into the knowledge of Christ and we've become a new creature, we have forsaken the law of sin and death. We will not die. As Jesus said, heaven to us is the gate to glory and to heaven itself. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. See, He wasn't sinful, but He had the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now that you and I still have some of that old man in us, we have the assurance that Jesus has condemned it. And we get the victory over it, as He says a little later here, in the Lord Jesus Christ. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. That is, Christ fulfilled the demands of the law for us. He died for us. And then it applies to us who walk not after the flesh. Now, you and I don't walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that's the reason you're here tonight. That's the reason I'm preaching like I am. We're not walking after the flesh and the things that entice the flesh and agitate the flesh. So far as our eyes, so far as our ears, we don't want to see them. We don't want to hear them. We're marching to Zion. We're a very glorious company that has come out of this world of darkness into the marvelous light of the kingdom of God. Now, these chapters here, you don't hear too much about them, but they're very real. They're very present in every one of us. Now, we come on down to verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be filled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, we do not have the things that appeal to the flesh in our homes. We don't have them in our halls. We don't have them in our bedchambers. We just don't have these things around. It's a wonderful thing to go into our homes of this church and see the things that are around. And you people have surrounded yourself with decent, inspiring things. And you've got some quotations here from the Bible. You've got something else, all of which you appreciate. And my mother used to say, "Son, we don't have these things because out of sight is out of mind. Out of sight is out of mind." And that's why we want our young people to be surrounded with the good things that they'll see. They bring in a lot of trash into the house. We take it out and throw it away and tell them they shouldn't pay attention to it or bother with it because they affect them the wrong way. But then he goes on now in verse 5. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." Now that's the ungodly world that doesn't have a new life, doesn't have a new birth, doesn't have a new nature. "They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." And that's the world that's having its time tonight. There they are. "But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Now that's us. We mind the things of the Spirit of God. Well, He's given us the Bible to begin with. He's given us Jesus Christ, virgin born. And that's the great work that He did. But we who are after the Spirit, we mind the things of the Spirit. That means that everything you have. You know, when I came to this church, people won't remember those days because you weren't here. But the first Christmas that I was here, and I started the church on this very high level, every young man that goes into the ministry has a very high level for the initiating of his ministry. I went to Atlantic City. I was never so disappointed in my life when I saw the other preachers of the town, the Methodist preacher, the Presbyterian church, what these men were doing. You have a very high standard. And Ms. McIntyre and we discussed, what shall we give our people for Christmas? We didn't have very much money. We made $250 a month, and we had a free house. Down in Atlantic City, we made $200 a month and had to pay our house. But we were improved in our income by coming to Collingswood. And you know what my wife suggested? I don't know where she got it, but she got a hold of a little box of cards with one verse in it for every day. And my wife said, "Let's buy enough boxes and give them to our church." And she said, they'll have them the rest of the time we're there. But we did it. And you never saw the response that we got. Here I was, the new preacher, sending them all the Bible with a little verse for each day. Do any of you still have those boxes? Mr. Bryson, you still have yours? Marion, you still have yours? Well, here they've lasted 60 years. But what I did and what we did was to give to my people a verse for each day, which they could pick out when they sat down, and then they'd think about that verse the rest of the day. And so we gave them a whole box. I've lost mine. I don't know where ours is anymore, but I sure wish I could get another copy of it and look at them and talk about it after 60 years. But the things that you need and I need every day is the Bible, is the Word of God, to comfort us, to lead us, to inspire us, and to help us in all the associations we have. So we come on down here. He says, if you walk in the flesh, ye shall die, but if you walk in the Spirit, ye shall live. Now verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And that's exactly what the world is out tonight, minding the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And you're here tonight as a witness and a partaker of this service because you mind the things of the Spirit. And you came here to get a little more knowledge of it. Now verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. That's the death of the ungodly. But to be spiritually minded is life. And that means that the Spirit of God has given you a new nature. You've got the Spirit of God dwelling in you. And to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now we're talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit in us as we make these decisions on the behalf of spiritual matters and righteousness and the things which are in keeping with God's law. Now, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Well, Satan doesn't have any trouble using it because it's already against God to begin with. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Here are the unregenerate in their darkness, in their filth, with their carnal mind. And the only thing that breaks that is the Spirit. So then they which are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, once you have the new birth, the rest of your life on this earth is to please Him. Man's chief end is to glorify God. You and I are supposed to please God in everything we do and in everything that we say. And that's the way you and I go in grace. Now verse 9. For you're not of the flesh, but in the Spirit. In other words, we were born again. The dominant force inside of you and me is the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. There it is. The Spirit of God dwells in us, and the Spirit of God is not using the flesh. He's using the Word. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. We understand that we got the Spirit of Christ at the new birth. He dwells in us. We grow in grace, we grow in knowledge, we grow in holiness. But we understand that this other force is in us, and we've got to crucify it. We've got to trample it underfoot. We've got to keep it from having dominion over us. And Christians, everyone who understands it, will lead a life that rejects it all. It's interesting at the close of this 7th chapter, he says, O wretched man that I am. He says, I find this thing in my members warring against my mind. That's verse 23. But he, O wretched man, there comes a time when you're tempted to do that which is evil and you struggle with it and then you say no. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the bondage of death? And then verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's it. You get the strength through Him to understand what's right, and you get the strength by the Holy Spirit that's in you to say no. And when you do it, Jesus is glorified. And when you do it, the presence of the Spirit in you, it brings great glory, not only to your soul, but to Him. Beloved, this tells you and me that our life, our decisions, our all, has to be made in the light of Jesus Christ. and the light of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that dwells in. Let's go on a little further. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And you have that, and I have that. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, but is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. I said I wondered why God didn't make us perfect when we got regenerated. He waited till we died before He makes our souls perfect. I wondered why He didn't do that. Well, He didn't, because the Christian life has this struggle in you in which He daily gives you victory. Now that's it. He daily gives you victory when you're faced with decisions. The carnal man comes up and he begins to assert himself, and then you get the victory over that test or that diversion that Satan wants you to take. And our life is not only spent praising the Lord, but it's spent in denouncing and rejecting the devil. And every day that you and I live, the devil is rejected and Christ is glorified. And that's what Christ is doing for His saints all through these many years. Now we come on down to the 8th verse. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Oh, I want to please Him. I want to serve Him. I want to do that in my body and in my mind and all that I know that He has asked us to do. Verse 9, ye are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. But with that declaration as to what the Spirit of God dwells in me, I can trust Him, and I can wait on Him to give me assurances and give me the victory. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. And so here are these people that talk about Jesus, but they don't have the Spirit of Christ. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. My, that's beautiful to have those assurances from the Scripture. Now verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, now that's where you and I are tonight, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, I don't think that refers to the resurrection. I think it refers to your mortal bodies being quickened by the Spirit that dwells in you now. And when we grow in grace and when we get to knowledge of these things, they're a great assurance and comfort to us. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Here's your whole Christian life. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And that's why you and I are here tonight. Now, in verse 25, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, we're children of God, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And growing grace, beloved, growing in grace is putting the old man down, bringing the new man up, and knowing that the Spirit which is in us is a guarantee that we will make it, that we will come to the place of glory, and we will come, of course, to the day of resurrection. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You not only have it in you, but you're led by Him. Now that's where we come in so far as the ministry of the church is concerned. The ministry of church is preach the Word, preach the Word, preach the Word. And the people who sit under the Word and have a faithful pastor who explains it as it is and as the great creeds have confirmed it, then that reaches the hearts of the people and they turn out to be good people. A good church made up of people who trust the Lord, who know they're struggling with the Spirit. The Spirit works on us when we handle our money. The Spirit works on us at the Every Member Canvas. The Spirit works on us in order that we may realize that we've got to put the Lord first. And they that put the Lord first will get the blessings and the consequences of it. Now let's go on down a little further here. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, that's verse 15, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. I preached on that 2 weeks ago. The Spirit inside of you bears witness with your spirit that you're getting the victory over this old flesh that's still agitating some of you down inside of you. That we are the children of God. Well, it's an awful thing when a woman has to live with a man that's unsaved and he curses and blasphemes and abuses her. It's going on all the time. The point is they should never have married. Don't ever marry an unregenerate man. And if you do marry, you may find out later on he's pretending and deceived you. And then you have this awful, awful struggle that goes on in many homes where the men blaspheme and curse and have a filthy mouth and the children hear it. And it's a terrible thing to have to live with an unregenerate man who's living after the flesh. Now we go down a little farther, and I like this very much. Verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. He's doing this right now while I'm preaching these things, and while I'm getting these great doctrines in your heart. And if children, then heirs, I spoke about 2 weeks ago, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, we may be glorified together. And we're waiting now for that great day of glorification. He speaks of it a little bit further here, but you and I are waiting for the day when we'll enter the heavens and our struggle with the old nature will be forever finished. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. My, there's anticipation. The anticipation of what's going to be revealed in us. And as we await the day when we shall see the glory of Christ and be partakers of that glory. Now, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's what you and I are doing right now. We're waiting for the coming of the Lord when all the sons of God will be made perfect in holiness, of course, and we'll meet the redeemed of the ages, which will have no sin in them, no place where Satan can tempt them, the manifestation of the children of God. Now, for the creature was made subject to vanity not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. In other words, when our first parents sinned, and they were put out of the garden, they died, they were of the world, and all of us have come into that, not of our own choice. We've come into it because we're a part of the descendants of Adam, and we got to get out from under that by the finished work of Christ. Because the creature itself was also, itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of being a child of Adam. There you are. From this corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The glorious liberty of the children of God. And that's where we are right now. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Every time we have an earthquake, every time we have a hurricane, every time we see in the whole creation, you can't change it. The trees die, the flowers die, the birds die. The whole creation is subject to the condemnation that Adam brought upon the human race and upon the world at large. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We're waiting for the resurrection. We're waiting for the coming of Christ. We begin with a new birth. We have all these things about the Christian life, and we're all waiting in every generation for that moment when the dead will be raised and we'll have the full redemption of our body. The Apostle Paul just covers this whole sequence of our experiences here in this 8th chapter, and he does it by giving us all this information concerning the Scriptures, or rather concerning the Spirit. Now come down to verse 24. For we are saved by hope, But hope that is not seen is not hope. Well, our hope is the resurrection of the body. And we haven't got it yet. We haven't seen it yet. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And your life and my life is patiently waiting for the redemption of the body. Patiently waiting for that moment when we shall see our loved ones with their new bodies. Likewise, now here is this tremendous thing about the Spirit that tells us about His ministry for us. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We've all got our weaknesses. For we know that what we should pray for, we know not as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's the Holy Spirit. We don't ask Mary to intercede for us. She's not going to help us. But the Holy Spirit teaches us to pray, intercedes for us, and He works for us. He's working for us. Now, for whom He did foreknow. I guess I skipped 28, didn't I? And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. My, we're in good hands. We're in perfect hands. We're not perfect, but we have the third person of the Spirit giving us the grace and the growth and the love of God, which enables you and me to know that the work of the Spirit and the walk with the Spirit and the life of the Spirit is in you and me. And we thank God for it. And then we come down to verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Beloved, we're going to make it. We're going to be there. And the Holy Spirit is the one that's keeping us and revealing to us the Word of God. And finally we come to verse 28. For we know, now we know, that all things work together for good. Even the struggle that we have with the old nature works together for our strengthening and for our good. And once you're a Christian, you've got all you need to make heaven. We have all we need to get there. And so we come. We know that all things work together for good. And here again, the Spirit is working in our behalf. To them that are the called, according to His purpose. Now we'll close the service tonight by turning, please, to